Blackfin Web Design.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Will We Remember This Life and Each Other in Heaven?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ the Savior. Amen. Today, let's take a look into unseen places and understand that when we get to heaven or we're raised on the last day and are entering into the kingdom of the world to come, are we going to remember this present earthly life that we're living in right now? Do your loved ones who have departed this life in the Lord, who are up there in heaven right now, do they remember you? Does your relationship with them continue even now? And when you get to heaven or are raised on the last day and you see your loved ones again, are you going to remember them? Are you going to recognize them? Or is it sort of like when we die, you know, our brain dies, our memories are erased, and we're just washed clean and we start all over new up there and when we're raised on the last day? Or do those things that we know now continue up there, our relationships? Will we recognize them? Will we remember this earthly life when we get up there? And in the eternal world to come of the kingdom of Christ, will we remember this present life that we're living right now? That's an interesting question. Can we know the answer to these things? Absolutely. How? God's word, the scriptures. So let's take a look at these things today so that we can take great hope and encouragement that we from Christ and the things that he teaches us there. First of all, if we're thinking about our loved ones today who've departed in the faith, let's remember that God really super cares about our relationships with each other, doesn't he? I mean, almost this entire book, friends, is about a human's relationship with other humans, especially husbands to love their wives in the same way that Christ loved the church, Ephesians chapter 5, wives to respect their husbands, fathers to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Children to honor their fathers and mothers in everything. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. God wants us to put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So God is always about relationships. So he cares for our human relationships in this world and in this life. Amen. But let's consider next, is God moved deeply when one of our loved ones that we love very much departs this life in the Lord, but dies and passes on and goes out of sight? Does he care about that, do you think? Remember when Paul was heading to Jerusalem, when he was about to be, you know, arrested? He knew he was going to be arrested. The Holy Spirit told him ahead of time, you're going to face tough stuff there, Paul, and afflictions await you. He called together the elders of Ephesus when he's sailing by, because he didn't want to stop in Ephesus. That'd take too long. So he lands at Miletus, and he calls the elders of the church to come meet him, basically on the beach. And he talks to them, and he tells them, and now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. You're never going to see me again. So take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, Paul teaches the elders there at Ephesus. And then it says, they all wept and embraced Paul and kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they brought him to the ship. What a touching scene. Amen. I mean, they were so intimately connected in love and experiences and relationships, but now you're never going to see me again. So they were so sorrowful. Don't you feel that when you think of your loved one that you've loved and clings to your life, or your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your children, your husband, your wife? Oh, I'm never going to see this person again. Oh, woe is me. How sorrowful is that? Well, God says, I am deeply moved and troubled as well. That hurts my heart. I mean, remember when Jesus met Mary on the road and he's going to raise Lazarus, her brother? And Mary says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." We read, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who'd come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, and Jesus wept. He cried along with them over the missing of a loved one who's passed on, even though he's going to raise him from the dead in a few minutes. So God cares about our relationships that we have with each other here. He cares when one of our loved ones passes on and the sorrow and the pain of that. But is there hope that you'll see them again? Your loved ones who've departed in Christ, is there hope that you're going to embrace them again? Run to them, kiss them, have amazing tears of joyful reunion? Or is it just kind of like, that's over and we'll start over? Let's take a look. Also, when Jesus was on his way to raise Lazarus from the grave, remember Martha was also the sister of Lazarus, and she came to Jesus. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus gives her a word of good hope. He says, "Your brother will rise again." In other words, he's not dead. He's going to live again. You'll see him. She says, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I'll see him at the end of the world, Lord," says Martha. Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me, he who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." In other words, there is a joyful reunion, not just at the end of the world, but I'm going to raise him in a couple of minutes. You'll see him again. So God wants to bring us back together in joyful reunion. He cares about these relationships we have. He weeps when we weep, and he wants to bring those tears back to tears of joy. Is there hope that you'll see your loved ones who've departed in Christ again? Well, if they've departed in the faith, guess what? They're not dead. They're actually alive. We know that God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If they have life, then they're not dead, that they're alive. Where are they? If your loved one has passed on and you're missing them today, the Bible says that they're in heaven. Paul says in Philippians 1, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." All right, so where do your loved ones go when they depart this world and you see their faces no more? You cry, where are they? In heaven. We read in also in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, "We are of good courage, for we'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Jesus says, "In my Father's house up there, there's many rooms up there. If it were not so, why would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go up there to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and take you to myself, that where I am up there, you may be also." What's it like for your loved one who's departed that you're missing today? Are they sad? Well, if they're in heaven, we read of heaven, "Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place." In Hebrews 12, we read of heaven that it's Mount Zion. It's called Mount Zion there in where am I jumping over to? Somewhere in here. Oh, there it is. Mount Zion with innumerable angels in festal gathering. Picture that. That's quite a company. "And the spirits of just men made perfect." If your loved one had faults when he was here, guess what? Or she did. No faults up there. Made perfect. "To God's city, to Christ, the mediator of a new covenant, whose blood speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel." I mean, up there is far better than down here. So if your loved one departed in Christ, they are alive and they are in a wonderful, fantastic place where God dwells up above. So when we die as Christians, of course, our bodies go into the grave, our spirits go to heaven, but what's God going to do with your body? He's going to raise it on the last day. So listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 about that. He says to Christians who are grieving their loved ones, who had died, he says, "We wouldn't have you grieve, though, as others do who don't have any hope." You see, if an unbeliever dies and they depart this world without the Savior, still bearing the weight of their sins, those sins will sink them deep into darkness. And there's no good hope there at all, forever. But for a Christian, you have hope about your loved ones because Christ is the Savior. And because Jesus died and rose again, God is going to bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Those who have died are not going to miss the resurrection. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive until Christ's coming, that is, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, with the sound of God's trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up to meet them together in the clouds with the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. What's that say again? We together, all the saints, we together shall be always with the Lord. So therefore find comfort in those words. Does that sound good to you? Are you missing some loved ones today that you want to see again that departed in Christ? We together shall always be together with the Lord there at the resurrection day. So these are great words of comfort for you. But now let's get to the question. When you see your loved ones again one day, when you depart or Christ comes and you're raised, will you recognize them? Or is it going to be like, sorry, my mind was wiped entirely clean. Who are you? I've never met you before. Nice to meet you. Even though you're talking to your dad or your wife or something. Will you know who they are? Will you recognize them? And do we remember this present life? Well, let's consider. Let's go over to Luke 24. Let's see if they recognized Jesus. Okay, so Luke 24. They knew Jesus. He died. And then we read two guys are going on the way to Emmaus. While they were talking and discussing with one another the events of those days, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. What's that tell you? If their eyes weren't kept from recognizing him, would they have known who it was? Absolutely. Their relationship would have continued instantaneously. Jesus, but he concealed himself, covered their eyes for a time, made them blind to him, his identity, that is, that he might test them, go through some questions with them, teach them the scriptures, let their hearts burn within them as they heard the words unfolded. But then we read, when they got to Emmaus, and it says, when he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. It's him! And he vanished out of their sight. So, here's the first part of this answer here. Did they recognize Jesus after he died and was raised again? Yes. In fact, they would have seen him right away easily and recognized him had they not had their eyes covered. Does that not give you hope that you might recognize your loved ones when they are raised from the dead? We'll know Jesus for sure. But will we recognize each other? Well, for that, let's take a look at another one. Matthew 17. Mount of Transfiguration. You know that one. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, led him up to a high mountain, apart. He was transfigured, he became dazzling white, etc. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's well that we're here. If you wish, I'll make three booths here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. What's that teach you about recognizing people who've passed on? Did Peter ever meet Moses before? No. Never saw him. The guy lived 1,500 years before Peter came along. Elijah, did he ever meet Elijah before? Never seen him. He died 800 years before Peter. And yet here on the mountain, there's no need for introductions. He's like, that's Moses, that's Elijah, that's Jesus. And so what I take from that is if he recognized people who died and were now in glory, whom he'd never met, will you not also know and recognize those whom you have known, your loved ones, again? Or do you just start over? You're not starting over. you are going to continue your relationships with them. Okay? So let's take a look next at this question. Are you going to remember your earthly lives when you get to heaven? What do you think? You're going to recall what's going down on here on earth? How about when Christ comes on the last day? Let's say that's another 1,000 years from now. Are you going to remember your earthly life, this world, or is it wiped clean? Guys, you're going to have a great memory, I'll tell you. Yeah, you will. Even better than now. If your memories are failing and you can't remember why you walked into this room, like, what am I doing here? Oh, it was for that pen I was coming. You know, you're going to be much better than that, I'll tell you. Matthew 25. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He'll separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Place the sheep at the right, goats at the left. He'll say, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He'll say to the righteous, for I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me drink, a stranger and you welcomed me, naked you clothed me, sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me. The righteous then will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed thee or thirsty and give thee drink, or a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you, etc.? What are they doing? What are the saints doing on Judgment Day when Jesus says that to them? Searching their memories, scanning their earthly lives. We remember visiting people in prison. We remember giving food to the hungry. We remember clothing the sick. We just don't remember meeting you. And Jesus says, but this is how I count it. As you did it to the least of these, I consider that as you doing it to me, the king. And so here's your reward. But notice, did they remember their earthly lives? Yeah, it's not they're like, oh, we have no idea what you're talking about. They're like, no, we remember our lives. We just don't remember meeting you. Jesus says, when you do it to any of these people, I consider that you doing it to me. But they remember their earthly lives. Same thing with the wicked, by the way, guys. I mean, he says, and I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. They're going to be like, when did we not see you? When did we not do these things to you? As you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. But their memories are sharpest as well. They remember their lives. They just didn't remember meeting Jesus. And they, the wicked, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The point, you will remember this earthly life. When you get to heaven and on the last day, it'll be sharp and clear to you. So you're not wiped clean. This is not like your computer crashes and obviously you get a blank screen and got to put the documents in again. No, you will remember in heaven this earthly life. You will recognize your departed loved ones. You'll certainly recognize Jesus. How about your departed loved ones who are in heaven right now, who have departed in Christ? Do they remember you right now, or is the relationship over? You know, I've been your pastor for a lot of years, right? I've known a lot of you. Some of you have lost your spouses. They're in heaven right now. You're on earth. You're feeling lonely. Are they still thinking about you? Is the relationship over? Is it put on hold? Are they still thinking about you? Good question, right? Think we can find the answer? Let me read this one from here. Luke 16. Lazarus and the rich man. Jesus says the poor man Lazarus died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, because he was wicked, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame. But Abraham called back, Child, remember. Say the word remember.
Remember.
Remember, say it again.
Remember.
That you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, evil things. But now he's comforted here, and you're in anguish. Stop there for a moment. Did the rich man remember his earthly life, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Did he know who Abraham was, though he never met him?
Yes.
Absolutely. Did he remember Lazarus?
Yep.
He sure did. Notice, this stuff is crystal clear, and he's departed. He's in Hades. And so, Let's see what he knew about people on earth. Did he think about people on earth? He says, it goes on. Then he says, I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house. Still on earth, by the way. And for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Right? Remember that? So did the guy who was wicked in Hades, having departed this world, suffering down there, still remember his earthly brothers alive on the earth? He sure did, and he wanted them to be saved. He says, that they might repent. Please, send them a ghost. No. Even if someone rises from the dead, they won't believe. They have the Bible, Moses and the prophets. Let them hear that, because that's what's going to convince you. But notice, if the wicked person departed his soul, remembers his family still alive on the earth, and he's a wicked guy, how much more the righteous, your loved ones in heaven, still think on and remember you? Isn't that great? This is what the scripture's teaching us. So your relationship with your loved one who has departed is not over. They still think on you. They love you. In fact, we read in the Bible, 13, verse 8, you know, as for prophecies, they pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. Knowledge will pass away, but love never ends. It abides forever. Love continues up in heaven. In fact, I think they probably love you a whole lot more than they did on earth, because their love now is perfected. Remember, heaven is the place of the spirits of just men made perfect. Did your relationship with your spouse maybe not so great all the time on earth? You're a little bit at odds with each other? Well, if they were in Christ, they went to heaven, don't worry about it. They've been made perfect, all faults removed. And when you meet them, there's going to be no more trouble forever. You'll meet them in redeemed, wonderful joy. So, these are good words. They remember you. You remember them. The relationship continues. Your memories are preserved when you pass from this world, and your relationships, especially with your loved ones in the Lord. This is great hope. It's what the scripture teaches. So what are your departed loved ones like then for you? You're still here on earth. They're up there in heaven, your father, your mother, whatever, your brother, your sister, your children, your husband, your wife. What are they doing up there? Well, the Bible says they are the church triumphant. Well, that's theology, but they have triumphed. They have finished their races. They're like marathon runners who have crossed the finish line. And now they have their Gatorade and sitting up in the stands, looking down at you, cheering you on as you enter the stadium to do your final laps. They're like, can you hear the surrounding cloud of witnesses? Thunderous applause in heaven calling for you to keep running the race. Finish it as we did. And now we rest from our labors. They are the church triumphant. We are called the church militant. Namely, we are still in the fight. We are still in the race. But hear their cheers, your loved ones in heaven saying, keep running, you're almost there, and we'll meet you at the finish line with Jesus, and we'll leap into each other's arms with joy. That's the truth. For Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when you get to the end of your race, friends, it's not like you just collapse, okay? You might fall into Jesus' arms, but then he completely re-energizes and restores you, says, come on, sit up with me on my throne. Take your seat in the stands, and let's cheer on the rest until the final runner completes his course. These are great things, friends. So, one more question here today. When you do see your loved ones in heaven, are you going to recognize them instantly? I would say, based on these scriptures, yes. There's going to be no break in the action there. You will recognize them with joy instantaneously. But will you necessarily grasp the appearance of their change immediately. I think it's going to be a great surprise. It might take you just a second. I don't know that. But remember, you saw them when they were clothed in their mortal flesh. But there, they are clothed in heavenly light, like Moses and Elijah. They shone in glory, remember, when they appeared to Jesus. And your loved ones will shine in greater glory than you ever did see them down here. And how about on the last day at Christ's return? On that triumphant day, the resurrection of the body, when their bodies are raised and your bodies are raised, you meet them in the clouds in the air, you come down in the royal parade, the coming in of Christ to this world, you know, you'll recognize them instantaneously, I'm sure, from scriptures, but you may be like, wow, look at you. Because you saw them in this perishable nature, this old flesh, like an old suit of clothes, but you're going to see them clothed like Joseph's technicolor dream coat. I mean, they're going to be completely transformed and transfigured, as will you be. The wise, says Daniel, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, like the stars forever and ever. Imagine. Jesus says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Picture what that will be like to see your husband again, your wife, your father, your mother, your children who've passed. We'll be like, look at you. And they'll be like, yeah, well, look at you. Wow. And it'll take just perhaps, I don't know how long, but it'll be an amazing, joyful, happy reunion. The king will then say to you, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And so we, together with Christ, shall be always with the Lord in the world to come. Therefore, he says, comfort one another with these words. But will you remember this earthly life when you get to the new world and the gates of the kingdom are open to you? Well, the Bible says, Isaiah 65, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, says God. The former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. Does that mean you couldn't remember this world? No, you could, but why would you? It's as if you want to go to England and you sit there staring at a postcard of London for all these years. Finally, you get to London. Are you going to go back to the postcard? Yeah. It's not going to come to mind. Throw that one out. I've got the real thing here. You're not going to want or even need to ever remember this life again for the joy of the world to come, which God has promised you. For God says, behold, be glad, rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. So, conclusion. God says, Jesus says, and your departed loved ones say, run the race that is set before you. Don't slack. Keep running, for when the strife is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong, alleluia. For lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant will rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Will We Remember This Life and Each Other in Heaven? A broadcast of Charter Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls. and God bless you.